You're listening to Sci-Fi for Chicks on Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Previously on Fear the Walking Dead.
This virus is going around. The shootings the past few days. It's connected. People are getting sick. They get sick and they get violent.
And the cops shoot. It's dangerous for him to go cold turkey like this. Nick is really hurting right now, and I just need you to call in the prescription.
We're coming to get you. Tell us where you are.
We're close.
Please, it's not safe out here. They're not letting anyone leave. We just need somewhere to ride.
I need the consent. I see.
Go to the desert. Don't wait.
No. I'm going to wait for you.
We are dead minus 10, just 10 minutes until tonight's episode of Fear the Walking Dead airs, but we're going to take a quick look back and see, is there anything from the previous episodes? Now, this we're going back two and three weeks because we didn't have an episode last week. Boo. But also yay, because it was a holiday. But boo. So is there anything from the first two episodes that is still on your mind, you're thinking of, you really liked, you really didn't like? Doreen?
I'm wanting Nick to get out of those that old man clothes. That's my thing. He needs to get out of those clothes.
That's a good one.
Yeah, all he did was get rid of the tissues. You need some new clothes.
That's a good one.
I'm going to say the thing that really bothers me is the first episode to me really was Jaws. It was you're hit right away with the death, and then it's this whole slow burn thing where we know stuff is going really south, but they don't, and I really like that. And the second episode, everything happened too quick, but not logically. I mean, this is L.A. It's a big place, 8 million plus people, it with no traffic, which never happens in L.A. It's an hour to get across it. Yet riots are already happening, looting is happening all over the place, schools are closed, and yet we're not really seeing stuff on social media, and it just seems like things are happening really fast to get us to the next characters, like the Salazars, or learn more about Liza and Chris. It just seemed to be a little too pat. What about you, Jen? Anything in the...
Can't think of a damn thing. Sorry.
It's something, too, that I... It just really bothers me, like, how quick things are happening. I actually had something else that I was going to say, and then I laughed at you. This is called the miracle of editing. I love
editing.
Well,
you're not using this. This is just... Oh, you are?
I am using this. I'm going to use
that part,
too.
I thought this was a test.
No, this is the pre... This is the previously
on. Oh,
before we get
goodness.
Into anything else that's kind of... That you're still kind of liking, that you're it's bothering you, that's...
No.
Okay, then! With that, we're going to go get ready for tonight's episode of Fear the Walking Dead. I do have a problem because the name of the episode is called The Dog. I don't care. You can totally annihilate an entire race
of
people.
But don't kill the dog.
You hurt one collie. I'm not going to be happy about this, so I'm not looking forward to what might be revealed in this. We will catch you on the other side. Thank you.
The fall TV season is just around the corner, and you know what that means. Recaps. Join us over at scififorme.com as we dive into the new shows, the new seasons, with our unique blend of play-by-play and color commentary. That's a little sportsing speak there. We'll talk about the shows and share our analysis, and you're more than welcome to join the conversation. Fall TV hits Sci-Fi for Me, starting in September only at scififorme.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
Morning, Los Angeles. Hope you got your flu shot. Reports in 5 states that a strange virus is going around, so if you're not feeling well, go home, take care of yourself.
When civilization ends, it ends fast.
Welcome back to Sci-Fi for Chicks. This is our BoobTube version where we talk about the latest episode of some of our favorite TV shows. We're back to talk about Fear the Walking Dead, Season 1, Episode 3, The Dog. And the first thing I have to say about this is they did exactly what I said before the break that I didn't want them to do.
Why the dog?
Why the dog? Why did it have to be a dog? Why did it have to be a kitty? Anything? Why?
It's just ridiculous.
I don't care. You're decimating all of... Well, not you decimate's wrong. Sorry. You're trying to annihilate all... Well, no, maybe decimate is right, because that's like a tenth of all of L.A. Why'd they have to hurt the dog? The poor little dog was coming to people for help.
That's right.
Yeah, that was very sad. Very sad moment in The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
They're breaking the rules. That's a rule. You know.
No hurting of...
No hurting of children and dogs.
Well, kids are okay, but...
That's true. Look at the flowers.
Which we have there. You made the comment about the fact that Daniel Salazar, Reuben Blades, who is badass, was burning the bodies just like Carol. Carol knows he knows you burn it so you don't spread the infection.
He's a smart man.
He's like the only one on this show that's smart, him and Nick.
So we were doing this story sync on this, and when we ended, I got really upset because our story sync said that we did survive, but we were most like Travis. And after this episode, I definitely don't want to be like Travis. No. He is just blind.
Yeah, he's not opening his eyes.
You know, I think he has the potential to turn it around, but in this episode.
Yeah. He's still kind of being hopeful, which I guess we shouldn't hold that against him. He didn't want Susan the neighbor to get killed, but he's still not getting it.
It's like he's still being that. It's kind of weird, like if you see early seasons of The Walking Dead and compare Rick Grimes then to Rick Grimes that we know now, who's, mm-hmm. you know, ready to pretty much take anybody out. He's definitely an early Rick Grimes, but I'm like, this whole thing with Susan that you mentioned, that happened after they shot their other neighbor in the face. Who ate the dog? We don't like that neighbor. And I did become vegan for the entire episode here.
Just for the episode.
But it's like, if it had happened, the Susan thing had happened before that, maybe I could see. But this guy, I can't remember the neighbor's name, came into the house and would have gotten you and your ex-wife and your kid if Reuben Blades hadn't blown his face off. And yet he's still, she could survive.
It's almost like he has a little bit of Herschel in him. You know, Herschel with the farm, and he kept, but his is more a religious kind of.
He's playing the role of keeping humanity going, I believe.
And we're like, kill her! Kill her!
Take her out!
Because we know, that's why.
That's true.
We know.
It was more humane to put her down than to eat the dog. We're just going to keep coming back to this poor dog.
That dog should win an Oscar.
They should have got the dog in the video.
That dog wasn't going to be shot, so maybe he didn't know how to.
That's true. But the headshot, he knew how to do it. We'll have to post a link to that video because it's really funny. So we start out back at the riots, which last week, something I forgot to mention is that I didn't like was how things really seem to be progressing really fast on one aspect, but were really slow on other aspects. This episode seemed a lot better paced. I mean, the riot was definitely in full bloom, and I can see why they were scared to go out, because that was a pretty scary, without even Walker type.
No.
Infected types out there. That just was still a scary riot.
Well, as soon as they opened the door, they were right away, I don't want to say attacked, but people were coming right at them. It was scary.
Was that smart for them to get out?
Yes.
Well, yes, because the building was on fire, thanks to the riots.
I love how Jennifer didn't even pause. Oh, by the way, hi, I'm Heather French, and I'm joined by Doreen Shadle and Jennifer Stober.
Hey, girls.
Hello. Hi.
We were so upset about the dog. I totally forgot to introduce us, and Jennifer's finally able to join us now this week. At least it felt a little bit more natural with the riot, and I thought they dealt with the two groups. They're not really groups, camps, whatever, you know, the small cliques of people, a little bit better than they did in the last episode. We just saw it here. We're watching the replay of Nick and Alicia bring out Monopoly. Hey, let's pass the time by playing some board games. Game night, woo!
You know, I kind of love that scene.
I thought that was fun.
Yeah, you know, because when you're waiting around, what are you going to do? You're going to play board games.
You're bored? You're going to play board games? Nick was kind of really bouncing back and forth in this episode. I mean, one minute he's like drug obsessed, then he's kind of doing the funny little things, and then it's us versus them kind of a thing. Did that seem right? Did that seem natural? Maybe because of the drugs or his character? Or, you know, one minute it's like, I don't care about you, Mom. I just want my drugs. And the next minute he's caring about everybody. What'd you think of Nick in this episode?
I think it's about right. And depending on what's going on, he's going to have more clear moments. And then his body is going to drag him back to the dependency on the...
I'm sure we're going to see a number of manic moments from him coming up as he gets his withdrawals kick in.
Especially now that he knows that they don't have the big stash of drugs that he thought they did because she left some for Griselda.
I would just turn her right around to Nick and say, this is the end of the world. There are no more drugs for you. You need to deal with this.
You know? I tweeted, Nick, here's the world's smallest violin and it's playing just for you.
I know.
We're at the point right now where they're escaping the riot and Griselda gets hurt. What did you think when you first saw her injury, her leg with the scaffolding fell on her? And
she's going to be the first one to go.
You think she's the first of the cast to not?
Yeah.
Really?
Maybe she'll make it to season two, but I don't know.
Now that the military has come in, I'm wondering if maybe she can get help for her leg. But before I just thought of that, I thought too, infection, just like Eliza said, the skin is already dying, the flesh is already dying, it's going to get infected, and next thing you know, she is going to get the, you know, she will turn at some point, yeah. I would imagine, if she doesn't get any help in the next episode. So
she might be the lesson on how they learn that people who die of normal causes, they actually turn.
You think so? Because I'm kind of thinking of her kind of, like, again, in that Herschel vein, since we're doing some comparisons.
Cut her leg off?
Much I wrote down, because when she was going through all that stuff, and she was going to she's a nurse,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And she wanted to go to medical school to be a doctor. Not saying that she's the end all be all, but that's what I wrote. It's like, I think amputation is coming
up. Yeah,
maybe. And can save it, because she wasn't even thinking infection to go to zombie. She was just thinking infection to die.
To die, yeah.
And, I could see them.
No, because they don't know that yet. But, right. But they might learn that through her.
Right, but I'm wondering if she's going to be like Herschel, where it'll be...
Maybe.
You know, Herschel didn't die until the governor came around.
Yeah.
And
well, but she... And it was just still a regular wound. It wasn't a bite. If they amputate, she'll be fine. I'm curious now why Susan... And this is jumping a bit, I'm sorry. It was apparent she committed suicide because she took those pills... that's the impression I got. Mm-hmm. But it seemed like her and her husband were very happy, so why is she committing suicide?
That's a good question. I mean, was it because of what was going on outside? I mean, hearing things now... Again, I hate the timeline, because if you go with the scenes and the day passages, we're only a short time off of Cal dying, the double murder of Calvin. Mm-hmm. We're only looking at a couple days after this, at most. So how widespread has this been where maybe that affected her? But I don't know, did she see the stuff going on in the neighborhood and she just couldn't take it? Or do you think there's another reason? Or
maybe she's just the type who can't cope.
Well, and her husband wasn't there, and they said no flights going in or out, so maybe she, you know, and she couldn't get a hold of him. So I don't know. It just crossed my mind to... Because I thought maybe that he was in the house with her, and they just haven't found him. But then it was just her, so... Because I thought, well, maybe they committed suicide together, you know?
Maybe it's just she filled her backyard with so much of that maze, and there was no place left to go, and she was just distraught.
That was just insane. Who came up with that backyard? You know, it's almost like, we need an obstacle for them to get stuck in. What can we put in a backyard besides, like, a jungle gym or whatever?
Yeah, we've already done the bounce house, which I really wanted to see the infected in the bounce house.
That's
like,
right.
There. Yeah, that maze was just... It really was a ploy by the writers and the set designers to give us that tension of having to go through it to get from that back door there to my back door here. How do we make it? How do we grab Alicia and almost get her bit? And then Chris came in to save the day. What was it you were saying earlier, one of you, about you thought that maybe Chris had a crush on her?
I think Chris has a crush on her. I do. I don't know. There was just something about the way he was helping her. And then when she was like, get off me, you know, like, I mean, she knew he wasn't going to hurt her. She knew he wasn't a zombie. But she was just kind of, I guess, just freaked out. But I just got the impression that he... Well, and I don't know. That was just my impression.
I can definitely see that. And it kind of fits into some of the tropes that you would have with storytelling and such. That...
Well, yeah, your son is attracted to your now new stepdaughter.
Exactly. Yeah, where it's like, you know, but I am. But it's okay because we're not really. And her reaction too when she sees Susan and figures that out, to then thinking back to her boyfriend Matt and how sick he was.
Oh yeah.
And how he was like, "I love you. You need to go." And she's like, "That can't be Matt." I thought that was a really good, small but real moment of her connecting to that. I'm glad they addressed that, because Matt's character, you know, he's here and gone. By the end of the first episode, we're like, "Where's Matt? Where's Matt?" And then he's suddenly sick. So.
Yeah.
At least they addressed it, but it gave a little bit more to her character, I think.
You know, I really like the fact that she didn't kill Susan, and then turned around and realized her mistake in doing that.
Oh, because, Madison?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Basically, at setting up how they're going to make decisions the rest of the season.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's the learning process of, like, learning how to deal in this new environment.
Right.
Because, you know, I can see it's like, well, like, Travis, like, he didn't say it, but it's like, what's the harm in just leaving her? I mean, she's in her backyard, she's not going to hurt anybody, you know, you're not actually killing a person, you know, you don't have the guilt of killing somebody or the feeling, you know, but yeah.
If she would have killed her, then Patrick never would have been in any danger.
Right. And well, and that look on her face when she sees Patrick, "Honey, Susan, I'm home." Crap. And she's like, "How do I get there?" And running, "Stop, it's not her." She gets it. She doesn't have a name to it. She doesn't have a name for it. Yeah. Travis is like, I hear you, I'm just not listening, kind of a thing. It's like, la, 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 people are going to get better. I think she gets it, but she can't. It's like it's just out of her reach as to being able to describe it. Because, yeah, you're saying that clicking in of, I need to do this. I need to kill her. She was my friend. I need to kill her. I've got to go warn Patrick. Another scene I thought was really good was her with Liza, the ex-wife and the current girlfriend.
Oh, that was good.
And how she's having that drink. Madison, she's getting very introspective in this episode. But she's having that drink and thinking, and like, if this happens to me, if what's going on with Susan happens to me, you need to do it. Travis, he can't. It'll break him.
She didn't really nod her head, but she nodded her head. She's there.
Yeah, that interplay was really good. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was a good, strong female character moment.
Yeah.
Where, you know, they were having the bond that we've got to work together, we've got to do this, I need you to do this for me. I think Madison is getting it. I love that. Mm-hmm. Sounds like a good friend. She was. She already knows. She knows. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's gone. She ain't coming back. Poor Susan. I like how we all asked, is like, is it because it would, I forget what the question, the answers were in the story, saying something like it, he's too sensitive or he's too weak. And we all went, weak, he's too weak. He wouldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's holding on to he's trying to hold on to what he knows. Mm-hmm. He's not as quick as Madison. I think Madison's getting it a lot quicker than he is.
Because when Madison had the whole thing last time with Art, her principal friend at the school, and seeing him, she saw Calvin. She's seeing these things. I don't know, maybe it's the pragmatism of her situation. I liked finding out. At first I thought it was an error, but then I remember they said that Liza divorced Travis. Liza left Travis, and so that's part of her backstory. She wasn't this abused woman or whatever. She wanted something else, and she left him. But we find out Madison's husband died. So she has a different connection to death than Travis does, and I wonder if that's going to play into it. You know, she's seen the death and had to live through the death of a loved one, and he's just split from his ex.
Is that the first time we heard that hit?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was wondering about that.
You know
that.
What this this episode was missing, though? Tobias.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay, here's the bad thing about going over something like IMDb. It could be wrong, because they don't always report everything, but it is showing Tobias is just in two episodes, which would be the two we've seen. But he got away scot-free, so maybe Tobias will be back in
season two,
which is already renewed. But yeah. He's got to be, because, yeah, I like Tobias. Yeah. Travis needs Tobias. Travis needs that practicality, because Travis is now where Madison was when Tobias was trying to tell her back in school.
Right.
So Travis needs a Tobias, somebody that's going to just snap out of it, do this whole Sharon Moonstruck kind of a thing. Okay, but one thing they definitely need, we really need to talk to the costume department, and this is something we've commented on, and some of our followers have commented on. Why is Nick still in the old man clothes? He's at his house. He's at his house. He's thrown up on these clothes.
And he hasn't even showered.
He hasn't showered.
He's a druggie. Maybe you give him that.
I can't give that to him. He's still walking around in stinky old man clothes. I mean, his sister's already changed. We see she changed to go to the mall. By the end of the episode.
Yeah. Because, you know, leaving everything behind and just living out of a car requires short jean shorts and a tank top.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh, she did have the flannel wrapped around her waist.
Oh, well, okay. She's a little prepared.
But really, I'm like, is this something the actor that Frank Dillon needed to kind of help keep in character? He's got the, come on. I mean, it's better than, you know, the pants that kept falling off down around his.
We need to have a bet going on when he actually does change clothes.
That would be great.
Let's do it.
Before is it going to
happen? I think he's going to be the whole freaking season.
Whole season.
Those clothes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be. What do you guys out there, listeners, think? Is he going to go through this entire season in old man clothes? I can see it.
I think he's not changing his clothes.
Well, they are. Okay, the military did come in. And I guess we're going to go to the refugee camps now that we had heard about in The Walking Dead with Atlanta, which is where Rick was going and got there and went, oh, not so much. Are we going to actually see that now? Are they going to be stuck in a refugee camp? Maybe the soldiers will smell his clothes and make him change.
Yeah.
Well, he's going to pick out another old grandfather.
Yeah. Maybe that's his shtick.
Oh,
we're at the part now. They just let in the doggy, and the doggy's been bit. But he should be okay, because it's not transferable to doggies.
Do we know this?
We have never seen a zombie doggie.
Yeah.
But we have a lack of animals, because the zombies are eating them. Yeah. So, where's never been one. So,
and, yeah.
I think that, I don't know, I want to say somebody did say something, but we haven't seen a zombie animal.
No. And the one Walking Dead episode where they did have the dogs that were threatening to attack them, I don't think they were ever attacked. I think they just became wild. Looking for food.
A wild pack who'd been chased by zombies. Yeah. So that, I could see that turning them against.
Oh, here's the backyard maze thing again.
Oh, we're back to the backyard maze. I mean, that's pretty intense to have.
I believe they grow vines. It's for growing vines on.
Yeah.
The
maybe
maze.
They're making their own booze.
It's just, I don't know if that's up to code. If that would have really passed city code.
I don't think I've ever seen one in the backyard like that.
That's just crazy. They're, I love how they're in here searching, and you know what Nick, he's like, I know they have a gun, so he's going for the gun. I also wouldn't be surprised if he's looking
for drugs.
No, not at all. So
they have a gun. Good move? Bad move?
Good move.
I think it's a good move.
Oh, and the power's going out. Flicker, flicker. Now, see, it's scary, but then again, I lived in L.A., and we have brownouts and things all the time. So, I don't know. I can't really recall, like, if there was a... Did it just come to them? Like, hey, there's a gun next door, and we might need this because of the dog? Because it just seemed, like, really convenient sudden... I mean, I'm glad they did it, and it was smart,
He must have known he had it, because he... Yeah. I mean, he knew what he was looking for.
Writing-wise, did that just seem like, we need something. We need something, and Madison wouldn't have a gun in her house, so...
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, maybe.
To me, Nick's a survivor. He's the one who had the idea. It's his instincts kicking in. The girls are a little behind the times.
Oh, a little?
Yeah.
A little? So. I think Alicia finally having that moment with Matt, realizing what happened to Matt, she kind of gets it, but she was still bratty at the end. I'm coming.
Yeah.
I'm coming.
She's in denial.
Is she? Yeah. They all are. Oh, I'm glad we have it on mute because I really don't want to hear the poor. I knew as soon as you heard the dog barking in the background, we're going to hear the whimper real soon.
Why the dog?
I don't know. It's like in Being Human when the boyfriend is attracting the kitties at the back door for food, and that just killed me. Just killed me. You couldn't go for a rat. Yeah. I don't care. You're in East LA. There's rats there. You know, come on. I'm not saying anything bad about East LA. It's just, you know, their houses are put together. Okay,
well,
so
you know, people are sensitive about the pets and dogs and stuff, so that obviously they wanted to stir the pot a little bit.
Would have been better, though, if the title was not The Dog.
We knew. The minute they called it The Dog, we were just like, uh-oh.
It's bad news.
Bad news for the puppy. Let's talk a little bit about the Salazars. We've got Reuben Blades and the daughter. I can't remember the daughter's name. And Griselda, the mom, who is not doing so well. First off, was it a good move that Madison was taking a little compassion on Griselda, you know, giving her some pain medication? I mean, it seemed like she was trying to reach out just like the daughter was trying to reach out, but Daniel, Reuben Blades, is kind of trying to push himself away, just like Travis is kind of trying to push him, you know, like pull away and not groupify.
To me, her decision was just based on, like, her level of compassion for others, you know, basically.
Wanting to help,
And the fact that she really wants Nick off of being weaned off, so... She was in pain, so share the meds.
Well, it seems like the women have the compassion and the men still have that barrier. They're still kind of suspicious of one another, even though they've helped each other now for that evening before, you know.
Right. Ophelia, that's the daughter. Ophelia Salazar. She really seen the value of staying in that group, staying with these good people. Is it good to be a good person? Is it good to stay with good people?
It's good to stay with good people.
I like that quote. What was it again? Something about good people...
Go first. Something like that, yeah.
There's some truth to it.
Well, Glenn is still around.
Yeah.
In the TV show.
Yeah.
Spoiler, sorry, if you haven't read the comics. I don't know, I think it's smart. You kind of need your own, and maybe it's because last night I was watching Catching Fire and Mockingjay Part 1. I'm like, maybe it's kind of good to have your little alliance there. That's the same thing, like Survivor and all these other things. You can't do it alone. You know, this kind of thing. You need to know.
Well, you know, I don't believe anybody should go through life alone. And basically, I would relate it to that. You know, you're a community of people going through the adventures of your life.
So are they going to, since they were doing that little census inspection-y kind of a thing, and there's 9 people in here, and they, Travis included the Salazars on this, is this the way that they kind of get kept together and what I'm assuming is going to be the refugee kind of camp thing?
Possibly, yeah.
Because we do have other characters coming in, I'm sure kind of going through some of that, like the soldiers at the end, like, did you get any blood on you? Did you get anything? Like, no, we're fine. We haven't been touched at all. Because everybody still thinks, just like in the beginning on Walking Dead, where if you touch it, that's how you catch it. Not realizing.
So how many more episodes do we have?
It's a 6-season episode, so we're halfway through.
I have a prediction. I'll be bold and make a prediction.
Ooh.
That the first season ends with these camps blowing up. Not blowing up physically, but like being infected, and that's my prediction.
Like outbreaks within the camp?
Yes.
Or like I wonder how you do that. First off, I wonder like how they got that whole street. It's like, how many National Guard, armed forces, police, whatever do you have to be have that much of a presence in a neighborhood when, like I said, the metropolitan area there of LA is like 8 million plus people. That's a lot of people to be kind of going into this. So, like, are you closing down? There doesn't seem to be that much attack here. So we'll go and we'll try and save as many people here. But this part is totally lost and gone for. And I don't know. It just seems like, how do you handle that in something like Los Angeles? Trying to save people and go and do houses.
I think eventually you don't.
That's a pretty good point. That is, I can definitely see that.
So what do you think of my prediction?
I mean, I like it, because I think part of the appeal of the show is we're going to see the fall. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wish we had a little bit more of it still civilization, slippery slope, like it's starting to slide. I feel like we've already slid down. We're in the first hole.
Yeah.
We've got more holes to fall down. I wish we'd had a little bit more. But I don't think they're going to stay in that societal thing, like the old society thing. Because now, what we're in right now, that's old society. What LA was is old society.
Right.
So they're going to have to move to the next one. So to me, it makes sense, just like in the first one where you had literally the camp that Rick was in, the camp in Atlanta, and then you move to the farm, and then you move to the prison.
Right.
It would make sense that, the next step would be the camps, and you can't just be happy-go-lucky in the camps. I mean, even the farm.
Something's going to go down.
Yeah, something has to, because you saw, like, even in the farm. Didn't take long for just even little infighting, like even if it was just Shane and Rick kind of stuff. You had to have that kind of stuff going, and that was just this many people.
Yeah.
It just, I want to see more that tension. Maybe it's that, like, tension kind of thing, like on Survivor, when it's all of the cast is there together, and you start seeing people, factions here and there, and being pulled different, and it just really heightens it, instead of just being this one small group.
Right.
I kind of want more of that, and more of...
More of at a societal level.
Yeah, exactly. Where it's just
more of that. More of the
see, fall, like this scene, the fall of society. This scene question too. You know, he sees his neighbor come out. I don't know. Wouldn't you be talking to your neighbor, going or like,
especially since Travis is Mr. Hopeful.
You know, I'd be like,
he's thinking that Susan can come back, but yeah, his neighbor down the street
who's alive,
and is putting out trash just like you. I don't think Susan's taking the trash out.
But you know, it's L.A., and how well do you know your neighbors?
But still, I mean, I'd be like, okay, he's doing normal things, he's not.
But this is just such a bizarre, crazy, thing that's going on with the riots and stuff. I mean, even if I didn't know my neighbor, I'd be like,
what the hell is this?
What do you think of this? Like, you know, like, what do you think's going on? Or did you, you know, you would think you'd say something to him. I see you're still alive.
Yeah.
I'll see you tomorrow. I would too. It's because you do that like on the streets. I mean, I remember I was just walking out of the library one day last week and it was still hot. And this woman, you know, as we're crossing in the street, she's going, hot enough for you? And I'm like,
yeah. I mean,
but, you know, he's a total. Yeah, and it was like, what the, you know, what's going on? So, yeah, that's a good point. Because you're both taking the trash out.
I'd be like thrilled I saw another live human being that wasn't trying to kill me in some capacity or rob me.
Hands up, spin around, let me check you for bites. What else about this episode? Anything else that's really striking you from...
Ophelia said something about, you said all our relatives were back in El Salvador. Because you said, oh, I have a...
They're all buried in El Salvador.
I have a cousin who can come pick us up in the morning.
Or because he was talking... he was talking about them being buried in El Salvador.
I kind of wondered if she was questioning, why are you telling him that your brother is going to come get us or something. I don't know. Maybe I missed it.
No, I didn't interpret that way. I think he's coming, supposedly.
I see.
Oh, maybe you're right, Doreen.
say, like, your cousin.
It's going to be okay.
All our family's buried in El Salvador.
That's why she said, your cousin? You're right. Like, who is this cousin that you're talking about? He wants them to leave and they're going to hold up in the house.
That's a good point. He's just like...
He wants to not... He wants to separate.
We're out of our barbershop that's on fire down in the riots. This is a neighborhood that we can protect ourselves in. Yeah, you guys just go ahead and leave. We'll take the house. Ooh, they're squatters.
They're squatters, yeah. Because that's what I thought, because she said, oh, like your cousin? And then she said, you said all our family was buried in El Salvador. That's when I thought, oh, he has no family coming to pick him up. He just wants
them that's to what leave he told them. Okay.
So they can stay behind. Because he said, oh, he's my cousin's going to pick us up tomorrow. You know, so they're going to leave him there guilt free.
Look at you being all smart.
Yes, very smart. I didn't catch that.
My impression was there is no family. No one's coming to pick him up. No, he wants to stay. He doesn't want to be in debt with them anymore. They helped each other out.
Well, because they'd be kind of square.
The bill is square.
It's like, we helped you. You now want to
go?
Us.
Go ahead and go. We're not going to hold you back. You don't have to include us. I mean, it's actually kind of nice because there is guilt involved. Do you take these people that you don't know with you? And he's saying, don't worry about us.
Yeah,
you go do your thing. Yeah,
exactly.
You know, whether it's right or wrong is a different point. But see, look, he's already like taken over the house. You know, he's a squatter. Seriously, I mean, he knows he's got a good place to stay, and he can stay holed up for a while and be safe. He doesn't want to be on the run.
Water's still running.
Yeah.
Still have at least the basic utility like that, so.
But yeah, he doesn't want to be in any more debt or be with these people. He wants to just be with his family and figure it out on his own.
Okay, looking ahead in like a film trope thing, you've already paired up Chris and Alicia to some way, shape, or form. Ophelia seems to be in kind of a similar age bracket to me. Maybe.
Maybe.
She seems older to me than Nick.
Really? Let's
see. Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's...
Let's see.
She's got to be in her mid-20s. Nick's still high schooler, so...
No, Nick's 19.
Oh, he's 19.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, here we are, going to the mall.
She is older. Well, the real woman is 32.
Gonna go get some yummy-licious and talk about boys.
Cougar. She could be a cougar. There's nothing wrong with that. Well, that would all... Okay, they're only 8 years difference in actuality.
In real years.
Oh, we're right at the point now where the neighbor is in the house and is attacking. They've done this a lot in these first three episodes where the mouth of an infected gets really close to one of our main cast. You know, he's like right on his arm. And Madison had that same thing too, where it's like, you know, they're almost there.
Right there.
Just right there. I'm kind of like, let's see who doesn't get really close, and maybe they'll be the first one to go. Okay, so let's move on to that. Who is in our cast? In the theory that you don't have to run faster than the zombies, you just have to run faster than one other person. Who's fallen behind and getting closer to being zombie bait?
Well, obviously, Griselda. Is that her name?
Griselda's the South. You think so, Tutoring?
Oh, yeah. I thought I called Griselda last time, too. If someone has to go, who would it be? Can't really think of anyone else. I know he's going to survive, and I want him to survive, and he will. But the fact that Nick's out looking for drugs kind of worries me that, you know, he might get in a situation, a tricky situation. I mean, again, I don't see him going, but I can see him coming close,
right,
having another scare.
Yeah, we need to have him make it to the end of his grandfather clothes.
I know. I know we do. No, but he's, you know, if he gets that...
Maybe he finds the house of the guy whose clothes it is and he wears another one of his clothes. Maybe. It's a possibility. Well, I do have to say, again, cheating. But see, it's kind of one of those weird things. Like, if you go into IMDb, it does show that Ophelia and Daniel Salazar are in 7 episodes going into next season. But Madison and Travis and Nick and Alicia and Liza and Chris... and Strand are only in 6. So, I don't know who Strand is yet. But that's, you know, that's not a telltale on everybody that they're no longer in it. But I would say we definitely have Reuben Blades. Kick-Ass Barber is going to be continued on.
Oh, yeah.
We do see that Griselda, not so much. So I would say you guys are definitely getting probably closest that Griselda is not looking so good, also because she's considered a recurring cast. I still don't think Chris has, maybe not this season, I don't think Chris has got a long life. He's being a little too lovesick, and I think his death would really be something that would either totally split or totally bring together Travis and Liza. You know, that would damage Liza, I think, and yeah. Travis beyond a repair, really harden him kind of thing. I don't know.
Season 2.
Yeah. We will be back next week to talk about episode 4, Not Fade Away.
What do we think that means? Not fade away.
Not fade away. The past is going to not fade away. The disease is not fade away.
Interesting.
Your memories. I mean, looking
keeping a hold of yourself. It's like not having yourself fade away in the new present, present in the future that's coming.
Maybe. I mean, we have Not Fade Away, Cobalt, and The Good Man, which of course makes me think of Doctor Who. I'm interested to see where it goes. I think most of our people are actually going to be safe, and we're going to have neighbors and ancillaries. I mean, especially if they go kind of like how The Walking Dead did. Mm-hmm. But we're going to have somebody go, just like Ed, Carol's husband. He had to go, and Amy had to go. So I think that's why with Chris is kind of like the correlation, Amy, Andrea's sister. Like, with her going.
I could see that, but I think he's going to make it through season 1.
Okay. Well, we'll see. What do you think? Definitely go and check out our poll on the website, scififorme.com. Make sure to follow Chicks on Twitter at scififorchicks. You can email us, scififorchicks@scififorme.com. And, of course, call our hotline and leave your questions and comments for us. That's 573-427-2434, 573-42-SCIFI. Bye. Make sure and leave your name, your city, which podcast you're calling for, because that's the Sci-Fi For Me hotline, and your question. And go over to scififorme.com and check out Teen Zombies' take on tonight's episode. That's Tim, Curtis, and Dustin, the stinky boys, are going to talk about it and see what they think. For the chicks, they're the stinky boys. Jennifer's laughing at it. She hasn't heard that one yet. But definitely check out and see what they thought. Thank you, ladies, for joining me. And thank you, you know, for the libations and things. We will see you next week for Fear the Walking Dead here on Sci-Fi for Chicks. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
This has been a presentation of SciFiForMe.com. Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi For Me Radio.